Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. Give him a big clap offering. Thank you, Lord. You're awesome, God. I appreciate our worship team. Give them a clap, will you? A special blessing on each and every, well, all our worship team and on each of you here. That is always, we found when we started, what, is this the 23rd year now? For every Friday night, without missing, we have been watching and praying. I believe this is the longest lasting watch ongoing in the U.S., I believe. Maybe. Among the most, at least. And in the nations. And we want to welcome people watching us all across the digital world. We have Anders and Gabby, and we have Wanda. And if you're watching us, send us an email or says, hello, this is so-and-so from Malaysia. And we bless different nations also. We used to, and we may want to start when we used to roll out the world map and pray for nations. We may have to do that again. We kind of do certain things, then go into other rhythms. But the Lord restores different things for us. We are, for this season, as we are ending, we are at the concluding stage of a 40-day corporate fast. And so we want to conclude. We have had 6 weeks of fasting and corporate fasting and prayer. And we want to wind it up with praise and thanksgiving to our God, worshiping Him and giving Him all the praise and the glory for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He is going to do. The Bible says He has delivered, He is delivering, He shall yet deliver. All right? Tell your neighbor, He is delivering. Tell your other neighbor, He has delivered. And tell your other neighbor, and He shall yet deliver. So, we got miracles and breakthroughs ahead of us. But we already start giving thanks and praise to our living God already by faith. And I started getting different scenes from different stories and traditional things and movies and all that. And when you praise, I felt like even tonight as you were praying and praising, I saw, it's kind of like, yuck, but there were some of us, it's like as we have to go through some yuck stuff. I don't know how many of you remember a scene from way back. Now, this is the early 1950s movie, but it's a classic called The African Queen. And Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn are in there. And it's a great story. And he kind of is rescuing a missionary lady who is very proper and all that. And they have to go through Africa. But it's just during the First World War. And then they have to disarm a torpedo boat that is out. Maybe it's the Second World War. I don't forget now what war it is. But he has to swim into this yucky water to disarm a torpedo boat or something. And he knows that if he goes into this yucky water, he's going to get covered with leeches. And when he comes out of the yucky water, he's doing something. And he comes and his whole body is covered with leeches. And he's so yucky. And he himself, this is Humphrey Bogart, the great hero. before Clint Eastwood. And yet he goes, take him off, take him off. And I felt like as we were praying tonight, leeches were falling off of us. That there was, we had to go through some yuck and all that. And whether you know it or not, sometimes you go through the yuck, leeches are hanging on to you. And they are not nice creatures. They are sucking your blood. And I felt like there are spiritual leeches that we pick up, and they are sucking your emotional energy, they try to put fear in you, inject fear and all of that, and you got to praise. You got to get with other people. Amen. And praise and help other. It's not in that movie scene, he's so self-sufficient all that, but he needs the missionary lady's help to take the leeches off. He can't do it himself. And so she helps him. But it's like we need to help each other. The praise and the thanksgiving, as we were doing it, the leeches were falling off of you. And you will get, and there are mental leeches and physical leeches and emotional leeches that are falling off of you. And you just, as you get into praise, it won't fall off. There is, I think they put some kind of bicarbonate of soda, something that those leeches don't like, and he puts them, he gets all of that stuff, and the leeches fall off. So you need something. You need praise. You need thanksgiving. You need worship. And in that atmosphere, those things will fall off. They won't fall off just by themselves. They are not good creatures. Anyway, and then we enter into superpower stuff. When you get into corporate fast, it is super duper. Derek Prince thought it was the nuclear weapon of the church was when we get into fasting and praying together. So you can't, all of us now, I used to go, God gifted me for about 23 years to go on long 40-day fasts twice a year and four 21-day fasts. Four 21-day fasts and two 40-day fasts every year for 22-plus years. So, and it was just the grace of God. I mean, I did it mostly all on water. But this body of believers, this ministry, part of the foundation was fasting and prayer. And then, as we began the watch, we would declare certain times as a time of corporate fasting, so that every family, every partner, your children are covered under the mantle of this wonderful, awesome, supernatural shield and a nuclear weapon, God's nuclear weapon. That's what we considered from years back. That's why I wrote my first one of my books on that subject, was The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. It started the series on the hidden power. I've written 7 books on the hidden power. And so now, from what I understand, once you write 7 books on a subject, nobody else can write hidden power something. It's something like a copyright type thing. But part of the reason I talked about hidden power was as a corporate discipline of the modern day church, most no other fellowship I know of, unless they're filled with the Spirit, do this as a habit. So this is part of the reason. I mean, I believe that we are in for miracles and signs and wonders and breakthrough. And we are, God is giving you personally and giving our family, our children, and the church supernatural breakthroughs and amazing healings and miracles in the coming days. And I'm believing it. I'm praising God already for him. He has already done so. He has delivered. He has given us miracles. He has given us healings and breakthroughs. And he shall yet give us more. There are people here right now, a couple of families here, they're working on your immigration papers. And I want to declare to you that God says, do not fear. Even in this season where they're confusion and things like that about God, I believe there are angels doing that work. So I bless you. Do not be afraid. Angels are active right now to doing that. Praise God. And there is another family. There is a kid that you're worried about with drugs. And this person, this, whether it's, I think it's a boy, but it may be a girl, but that young lady is going to be delivered. That young man is going to be delivered completely. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And yeah, and there's someone else that's afraid of a lawsuit, and it's going to be that yoke of that thing is going to be broken as we have fasted and prayed. So we're bringing this under the mantle of God's miracle-working power of God. Let me read it to you from Ezra 8, and then we'll read a few more scriptures and activating them. These are going to be activated. We're going to come into that, the Word of God, as part of your inheritance, okay? If we don't grab it, hey, it's time for you to grab your miracle. Grab your promise. It's there. It's lying. It's there. God has given that as your inheritance. Don't neglect it. We're going to go take possession of that which has been given to us. The whole, that's like after 40 years, the children of Israel were commissioned. Go get your promised land provision. It's been waiting for you for 40 years. Now go and take possession of the land in the same way through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us in Calvary, that he has given you an inheritance. He has given your children already inheritance through the mighty blood of the Lamb and through the price that he has paid at Calvary. So it's yours. Say it's ours. And so we have to have faith and go in, go across the Jordan and take possession of your promises. And we're going to, together, we're going to do it. Say together. Yeah. So often, I often get somewhat hurt for other people when they're almost near the promised land and I saw this other thing, like it was like a forest of, you know, like, you know how you saw the old, was it Grimm's fairy tales and all that, the old fairy tales, and we used to like that, but it's like we have wandered too near, some of you wandered too near a forest of gloom, and there are little vines coming out of it, and you don't want to go near the forest of gloom and doom. Because you know the vines will grab hold of you and take you in. And then in the center is doom. So if you were a little kid, you know, I'm just telling a bedtime story. You know? I don't know why they used to tell you bedtime stories that would sometimes terrify you. And the old witch took and put them in the oven and cooked. I said, no, don't tell that to kids. Yeah. Anyway, so we want, but sometimes, I'll tell you, there is, in the spiritual realm, there are the collective seasons of, there are out there, there are evil forces of gloom and doom that you get new near, and if you don't have someone helping you, and part of it, the prescription, that thing will fall off when you get into praise and thanksgiving. So I am back to encouraging us now for at least for a season. I don't know whether it's for a month or whatever. I would encourage you, either I have this little gadget that I wore, but you can put this also on your iPhone or any kind of phone you have. But this one, it's called a Gym Boss, but it buzzes right now I programmed it to buzz every 15 minutes. And it's going to buzz and remind me. I'm like Pavlov's dog almost. Anyway, sorry. But we're going to retrain ourselves to praise and thank the Lord and get it. You use it as a weapon to get greater victories for us, for God's people, for God's church, for our families, our kids, our grandkids. All right? Okay. So we made, if you have questions some more, but you can program your iPhone to ping every 15 minutes, I believe. Some of you nerds may be able to tell us how to do it. But you can, so you don't need this gadget. You can use your iPhone. Who knows how to, you can do that. Some of you know how to program your iPhone to do that. It'll be a ding or whatever. But I don't like to hear, this buzz is good enough for me. Anyway, all right, Ezra chapter 8. Just an aspect of jumping off into the Word of God. It says, this is Ezra. And he's traveling. The king, the Babylonian king, has released them to go back to Jerusalem. Ezra is leading a group. You don't get the right idea when he said we were with a bunch of families, all that. I thought it was, you know, a small little caravan of 100, 300 people maybe. There were, Bible scholars say, there were about 6,000 to 7,000 people in this group going back to Jerusalem. And it says, then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. Here, it's verse 21. I went ahead. My iPad went ahead of me. It says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way. So I proclaimed a fast to humble ourselves. I often said fasting is the scriptural manner by which we humble ourselves before God. Say, Lord, we are seeking your face. I'm not looking to human sources. I'm not looking to my employer. I'm not looking to the government. I'm not looking to sources. I'm looking to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the provider for me, my children, my family. You are the provider for the church. We look to you for the answer. And as we do so, we are turning to God. So that was how we do it. That's the scriptural way of turning to God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. So see, he's seeking God for us, for our children, and for all we own. And there were a lot of emblems of treasuries to be put in the temple, golden vessels and all of that, that they had were carrying with them. So it was a tempting thing for all the raiding bands. Al-Qaeda and all of that, it's not something new. There have been bands like that in the Middle East for many years. Anyway, for I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God. For this, and he answered our prayer. So we fasted and we prayed, entreated, we prayed. And he answered our prayer. He answered our prayer. Say, he answered our prayer.
He answered our prayer.
So it's, you know, one of the best scriptures here of corporate fasting. So it's about 6,000 to 7,000 people fasting and praying. The adults would have been at least about 2,000 adults maybe. I'm just roughly thinking. And God answered our prayer. So, the The reason they were doing it, because of the bandits, tribes, and I was thinking of, just for example, just this last week, we were thanking the Lord for this little baby who had a failing heart. And as we were, about 2 weeks ago or so, heard about the baby, and we were praying the baby would be able to hold on, this teeny little baby, just a few weeks old, that they knew his heart was failing, but it was not going to be able to make it, it looked like, till they could do the surgery. He had to get a little bit stronger for them to go and do a heart surgery. It was a heart. And we prayed, hang on, baby. We hang on, hang in there. And when they went in there, it was worse than they ever thought it was. I mean, it was, some of the vessels were barely hanging on and would have been torn from his heart, from what I understand. I don't understand all the exact medical details, but it was much worse than I thought. But the Lord sustained the baby. And then they were able to go in, and the baby's thing. So, just that, for me, he answered our prayer. Say, he answered our prayer. And one of the things I want to say to you is that that word is for each of you and for me, is that when God does little miracles, and I don't want to minimize it, there's a little baby with a little heart, barely beating, but God sustained it. And we praise God. But what I want to maintain, never minimize what God is doing. Maximize. When he does little miracles, maximize. Because that spirit of victory will give you greater victory. I don't in any way want to minimize the wonderful thing he did. Supersize it. Exactly. Any help you can get from... I will receive, yes. We're going to supersize the miracle because it's not just one. One miracle is a doorway to thousands of other miracles. Okay? That woman who made it through and said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. That has inspired thousands and thousands of miracles because sick people, sick ladies, well, across the world said, if she can get the miracle, so can I. I'm going to push through and touch the hem of his garment and get my miracle. Tell your neighbor, you're going to get your miracle. And a lot of other miracles. Okay, more. Say more. And so that's one of my, I talk a lot about that because that's one of my specialties is to home in on that provision for the miracle that's in there in the glory. So when that happens then, we give praise to the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord. We give him worship. So that we are going to enter a season where part of the thing assignment for you and I and this church, we're going to maintain praise and thanksgiving and even make it into a discipline. So it's not, we're not just going to have a nice little sharing moment and a devotional on praise. We're going to have that discipline. We're going to see whatever it is. And when Bonnie and I wore this together, often our buzzers would sound at the same time, and we would compete. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! She would most times she would beat me because she's got a bigger shout than I have. But we would shout together, and she could hear my buzzer, and I could hear hers. And I'd say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But it's take a moment, start thinking. We can't share all of it, but this church has sent many requests. Now, we are personally praying for several people who are battling cancer and other challenges. But you know what? We're going to see miracles. We're going to see breakthroughs. We are not going to let the forest of gloom try to put out its branches and grab our legs and pull us in. Okay? And if you see anyone of your friend, any little believers here, if you see your husband getting into that gloom, cut that branch off. Say, you're not going to go in that forest. And if you see me, if you see your wife going in, try not to pull her out by the hair, but anyway, but pull her out. All right. So, the focus is on thanksgiving, on praise, on worship. So, we're not going to, number one, that's the foolishness of God's people. Often, corporately and individually, we often get into that gloom. And God delivered the children of Israel, as we have learned, and then Rabbi Lappin has come a few times here, and the great, great rabbi, Daniel Lappin, and as an old Hebrew, ancient wisdom, which is, he doesn't say in many audiences where he's secular programmed, he'll say, ancient wisdom tells us, which is basically the Old Testament. The book of Exodus mainly focuses quite a bit on the book of Exodus. But we read on the journey, and it is very much, if you want to learn something, what's happening in your life, look at the book of Exodus often. And you learn so many lessons. It's ancient Hebrew wisdom, which is basically the wisdom of God that they wrote down that God gave them. So the Word of God is our guide because it's been given by God to give us the victory today. It doesn't mean we won't have enemies. In fact, in every journey, we will have, we'll have different kinds of enemies. Thought enemies. Enemies that would try to put fear in people. That itself, it can become a huge demonic thing that takes over. We have had to pray. I went over the, 20 years ago, we used to have for a season, 10 years to a, I don't know how many of you remember, anorexia was a plague over young ladies. Remember that? And they would literally come for deliverance here. We have seen many of them that would come. And here you would see usually it would be from young ladies from 13 and a half, 14 to 16, 17. I don't know why, but during those, they were vulnerable. As they were coming into that season where they were defining themselves in their, who they were as a young lady, they would look at the mirror and the demons would start whispering to some of these young girls, and it was a demonic force, and they would literally be barely skin and bones. They're dying of self-starvation. And nobody, unless you forced them and took them into hospital and force-fed them, they would not eat. They would throw up purposely because they would look in the mirror and the mirror would tell them, mirror, mirror on the wall, am I fat? You are the fattest woman on earth. That's what the mirror would tell them. And it was a lying demon. And so they would basically starve themselves. And we prayed. It was a demonic oppression. It would be a voice. And we had to wrestle with the demon and cast it out. And this is, we are known as a deliverance center and a healing center around the world. So there are people who fly in, even from overseas. I remember there was a lady that was quiet that, you know, she came from another foreign country and would not tell us, but she would come up for prayer often. And then she got her deliverance and flew home. And when Bonnie and I went to that foreign country, she wanted to have a special audience with us, and she says, I was dying of a cancerous tumor. It was on my throat. It was malignant, and the doctors couldn't do anything. And I came, and I got anointed, and I got my miracle complete, and I'm completely healed. It's gone. So, but whatever it is, we are going to get people delivered, but we have to stay in that atmosphere of praise and worship and thanksgiving. And so here, let me read the scriptures then. As God answers prayer, we want to give him praise, but then we want to maintain praise. And in fact, we want to come into a new season where God has set fire, supernatural fire, to our praise. I don't want ordinary praise. I want praise to be on fire. And I've seen, we have gone through seasons where the revival comes. And I don't know whether it's the chicken or the egg, where what came first. Because, I mean, I've seen men on fire that just, I mean, they wouldn't stop shouting and dancing and praising God. And, I mean, in the middle of that, I mean, the revival would come and people would come and confess different things. And I would say, you don't need to confess. No, I need to. And the glory would touch them. It was the glory that was the presence of the Lord. So I want here, I'm going ahead of myself. Make a Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And the Lord told me, don't you take it for granted. Don't you think and tell me you know this. No, you don't. I'm going to make this alive to you like it's new, that you have never read it before. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I want to make a joyful noise like I have never done. With all my power, I want to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. And so it's not onerous to serve the Lord, to serve God's house, to come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. When I got first baptized in the Holy Spirit, that wave of glory that touched me, I would write, every week I would write a hymn. And the hymns were sung in several churches in West Texas for a long time. I didn't know, I'd never been trained in music. And it was just songs that would come. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord. So if the Lord in this season gives you a song and you start, I'm telling you, let the fire come, that you who never thought you would write songs, you're going to start writing songs of praise to the Lord. Praise to Jesus. I mean, let it loose. And we might even sing some of them here. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us. Now you say, well, I know the Lord is God. No. No, you don't. You don't know it yet. Until you see that miracle, know ye more. That he has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That means, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack for nothing. Therefore, Lord, we are the sheep of your pasture. Don't forget us. You are Jehovah. Roi, that the Lord is my shepherd. Lo efsa, I shall not want or lack anything. All right? Say, I shall not lack. Because God is my shepherd. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Again, be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And so what's the difference between thanks and praise? Someone gives me a present, I say thank you. Someone, if we a nice casserole is brought to me, or whatever, it's set before the table, and we are grateful for the meal, right? And you say, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful meal. What's your favorite? Huh? Spaghetti. Spaghetti is one of there was a news a couple of days ago, spaghetti is one of the healthiest things, right? That you can eat. Surprise. Now you have justification. What's your favorite? Huh? A what? Soup? Chicken soup. My, your needs are simple. You're simple to please. Dale, what's your favorite?
It's going to be a big piece of beef.
Big piece of beef. Yeah, okay. Rare, medium rare. Okay, good. Anyway, here it is. And someone gives you a nice medium rare steak. You'd say, thank you. We thank for what we have. Thank the Lord for what he has done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming me. Thank you for taking my sins and my pains. Thank you for what you have done for my children. Thank you for your provision, Lord. So we thank what I'm just trying to just do a little for me. Thanks and praise. So for me, I you thank you, thank you, thank you. And we never want to get away from thank you. So when the buzzer goes off, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then I praise you. For me, I would say, you have, God has given you life, he has given you breath, he's given you salvation. I thank you, Lord. But then I go to the, for me, I would go to the next level. Now, someone else was telling me the difference. I heard someone telling me. I'm sorry, I can't hear. What you think? Yeah. All right. But there is a gradation. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. So, for me, I start with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. But I want to climb to the next level, which is praise. I want to go a little bit higher. Go to the higher tower. I want to blow the shofar, but I want to go to a few steps higher. If I can climb a big tower and blow praises to the Lord, whatever. But I want to go to the next level. For me, that was the picture of going to a higher level. I love blowing the shofar. You know, years ago, I would hear people, we would go often to Jerusalem. And I would hear people blowing shofars. They would, oh, man. And I said, I don't know how to blow the shofar. And the Lord said, I'll teach you. And on the 18th floor of the Hilton Hotel in Jerusalem, I went out on the balcony. And the Spirit of God came on me. And I started blowing the shofar. And he taught me. I can't play it like some of the other guys who can just, I mean, make a musical thing out of it. But it was on the 18th floor. But it's always, for me, I get into higher level, the next level. So you want to go to the next level, which is praise. We praise him for what he is. Apart, not just giving you a nice present or that nice meal or what he has ordered. I mean, it's good. We begin with thanksgiving, but then you want to go into the next level. We praise you, Lord. Well, not just what you have done for me, what you have done for the nations, what you have done for every family on earth. I give you praise, Lord. Thank you for that healing glory touching so many people. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for the awesomeness of the cross of Calvary. Oh, and I praise you for the wonderful truth of the resurrection that made such a difference. He is risen. Whoa. We give you praise. So, that's we start praising. I mean, you can't quit once you get going. Lord, I praise you for the marvelous wonders of Jesus Christ. Wow. You, Jesus, are Alpha and Omega, and I cannot praise you enough. Wow. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. You are Jehovah Jireh. You provide for us. And sometimes, every one of you needs to make a journey to Israel. And you'll find, I get teary when I think you land in Tel Aviv airport and you start driving towards Jerusalem and the hills get higher and everything is green. And it's beautiful. And then, just a few miles away, you look at some of the Palestinian lands, and they are desert. And they are dreary. And it's like God breathed on Israel. As God restored the land, he made it bloom. And I'm praying, may that breath of life come up on all of us afresh and make us bloom. Whatever is happening around you, around your family, you start blooming. You're going to start blooming. You get into praise. Oh, he's so awesome. He makes everything bloom. And start praising him for all his covenant names. And that's how we give thanks. We give praise. Lord, you're worthy. And Psalm 18, verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Raise your hand. Say, you're worthy, Lord. And then Revelations 5:11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders and numbers of them, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's one of my favorite things I get into. Woo, we get into that place. Our sister Ruth Heflin, who was one of, and it's been a privilege since she passed away, almost like 14 years ago, that they've given Bonnie and I usually, I open the Sister Ruth's campground. She used to open that all those years, and then she's now in the heavenly glory. Believe me, she is. I had a crisis moment in my life when I was having major surgery, and the doctor said I could possibly die. The Lord let me hear her voice singing in heaven. And I got into another realm. Got drunk. And of course, as you see, I'm alive. So, but she would say, now I would say, get into thanks. She would say, get into praise. And she was thankful. And from praise, get into worship. And once you get into that worship, from worship, get into the glory. And when you get in the glory, stay there. So we want to be a people of discipline, and even more, Lord, set fire to our praise. Set fire to our thanksgiving, of course. And set me on fire. I'm praising. And I don't lose that. And then from there, for me, He is worthy. We get into worship who He is. We pray to what He has done already, Calvary. Thanksgiving, basically, what He has done for you and I. So, 1 Peter 2, as a part of our priestly anointing, God says, God has made us prince, kings, and priests. Well, if you don't get into your job description, you're just mouthing it. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood or a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, if we are not doing it, we are absent from the job. And you don't show up for the job for a few weeks without an excuse. I think you would be let go. That's why I'm so glad that we can have a watch. But if we can, and there are different things, people have to work, all of that. But if I can, I would consistently, where we can really give time for worship, praise. But you are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation. His own, it says in King James, peculiar people. It's your own special people. Bible itself calls you special. Say, I am special. Tell your neighbor, you are special. And that is it. I have Bible proof that you are special. Because God calls you special. For what reason? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So, part of your job is this. Part of our job is that. Often we want to go to the something beyond when we are not fulfilling even the very thing that we have been called. So this is our basic criteria. God says, in fact, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I think I need to play again. I think I did that 2-3 years ago. Whenever with the cricket singing and the hymn of the crickets. Oh, it's so good. You look it up. Do crickets worship God? Well, that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Now, I don't know. I think I may be prejudiced. I don't know whether I want to hear the roaches sing. I don't know how many of you saw a very, very silly movie called Joe's Apartment. It used to be one of my kids' favorite. There, the roaches have choruses. Oh, that's funny. It is. Joe's Apartment, that's right. But we worship, isn't that something? Worthy is the Lamb. I mean, that's what we worship. There are other situations. I don't want to become negative anyway, but there are certain things that they do the most evil, violent things. And you say, how can the people be so evil? But it's a result of what they worship. And you become like what you worship. And we worship Jesus, the Lamb of God, who is worthy. So, if we worship superficial things, we become superficial. That's why part of the greatness of this nation, it like any other nation, believe me, I came from the British traditions because I was raised up in a British colony. And Britain has a great tradition. But they made their dumb mistakes when they did the colonies and all that. There were a lot of dark shadows. And so there are some shadows in our history. But I'll tell you, this is no wonder millions of people are still beating down the doors to come to America. And it is good that we honor the flag. We honor the heroes that have laid down their lives too. And we don't worship that. We worship the Lamb of God. But his values then come into us. We become like what we worship. I was watching the life of Jackie Robinson. It's one of the most inspiring lives. And he had to pioneer in baseball when there was rampant prejudice. But however that he met he had such dignity, and you could tell. And then the people who came to cheer him, the African-American community that would come and cheer him, whenever the baseball, they would all get dressed in their Sunday best to come and cheer. And I mean, it just lifted the whole thing. I mean, I was so inspired by that movie. Anyway, sorry to bring movies. But if we worship perverted things, we'll become perverted. We worship evil things, we'll become evil. And if we worship the true God, we'll become godly. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says in the Living Bible, "And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him." Isn't that beautiful? And Isaiah 61:3, "We put on the garment of praise in exchange for the spirit of heaviness." So there are times where the devil will try to put a garment of heaviness on you, a garment of heaviness means discouragement, depression, all of that. We're going to take it off. All right? Help your neighbor take that garment of any kind of gloom away from us. I want to take it off. Take it off. And we're going to put on the garment of praise. I'm putting on a fresh garment of praise. I am taking off every spirit of heaviness. Let it go for all of us. In Jesus' name, any heaviness, any discouragement. Hallelujah. Shakarabadama. I'm going to get into praise. And we're going to get into victory. I'm going to help you pray. You're going to get into your victory. And we're going to get into our victory, all of us, instead of the spirit of heaviness. And we're going to stay in that. It says, Psalm 8, verse 2, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. That means the praise is one of the chosen weapons of God to defeat every enemy of yours. Every enemy that comes against your children, our grandchildren, or the church, we are going to keep praising God. So it's not in getting negative or putting on the same garments to your enemies. We're going to put on the garment of praise. I'm going to put on the garment of praise. Say, tell your neighbor, I'm putting on the garment of praise. Hallelujah. There are certain things we're going to take off in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And this final Psalm 149, let the verse 5 and 6, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. How many of you remember that? The classic is Le Morte d'Arthur. But anyway, the Knights of the Round Table. How many of you know the story, the Knights of the Round Table? But he is given, because he has been anointed king, he is given a special sword called Excalibur. It's the sword in the stone. Nobody can take it out. He is the ordained one. And we are God wants to give you a royal sword. And a two-edged one. As you take praise, he's given you the weapon. The more we praise, the more that supernatural sword starts humming. Ooh, it's better than a lightsaber. Hallelujah. So, we're going to take up the sword. We're going to commit ourselves to worship and praise and thanksgiving in a new season. Lord, so put your hands up. Lord, send your fire. Holy Ghost fire. Set me on fire to praise your name. Let my praise be on fire. Come, Holy Ghost. Let my praise get on fire. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Michael, Armin, and company. Let's praise and march around. Get on fire for the Lord. Get on fire for the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.